I've got confirmation here from
Al Dente.
From Oresta.
Mm-hmm.
It's dente, which means tooth. Saying is translated looses from hard as tooth.
So pasta.
Whatever, Orest.
Well, that's the truth.
Leave us alone, buds.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, I've got it, and this is what it is, and all Ray right. can speak to it as well.
Well, we've got another Italian on the line. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Ray Ferraro. Here, throw that at Ray. What were you talking about?
Is penne called al dente or al dante?
Al dente.
Sorry, Orest.
Sorry, Ray. Sorry, all of the Italian people that listen to us.
Well, I knew it was dente.
Ray, who makes the best penne al dente pasta in your family? Your nonna?
My nonna. Unfortunately, nonna's passed and our recipes have gone. We got the same recipe, and it doesn't taste the same.
Not even close, man.
I don't know how they did it. I don't get it. It was so much better. She used to make, this will be ridiculous, we'd have like these buns for lunch. They were like, you could use them as a basketball. They were so hard. And somehow she'd cut them, and then you'd get these cold meats and things, and they were amazing. My mom would go get them. We'd be like, Mom, we're going to bust our teeth. These things are terrible. It was amazing. Like, anything she made was so good.
I've never understood how the Italians eat. It's like when I used to grow up, and I used to go to my buddy's house, the Rocco family, and it would start off with this massive bowl of pasta, and then it's like, I'm stuffed. And that's just kicking it off.
I love it.
Okay. Sausage, chicken, anything else after that, then fire in a salad afterwards. I'm like, I was done after feeding on the penne.
We had this past Sunday, Father's Day, starts off with a giant chunk of lasagna, and it's like unreal. And then it's into the chicken.
Sausages.
And there's everything. Steak. The table's just full. And like I say, Steph's a great spectator, but she's feeding the baby, so I will give her that. But like Steph's mom, the whole family can cook. It's unreal.
Yeah. What did your parents ask her? Did you eat today? Oh, yeah, I had a granola bar at 11.
No, she's been good. But it was, man, the food there was unreal.
It really is.
I love it.
I'll give Italians credit.
There's nothing like an 80-year-old woman just ripping a strip off you because you haven't eaten enough.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so true.
And you're like, no, I can't eat anymore. Yeah. Well, no, I love it, but I've had 11 bowls of pasta. Exactly. Can't eat anymore.
Yeah. What's the reaction if you ever ask for ketchup in an Italian household?
I asked Bates Battaglia for mustard for the Italian sausage, and he looked at me like I was an idiot. I'm like, dude, I want mustard and possibly ketchup on this sausage. And I don't care if you're offended or whatever,
I'm
but
with
it's going
you, man.
On.
I do the same thing.
If it's cooked right, you don't need it.
No, yeah, you do.
That's just...
We are munja cakes.
Right, those are cultures clashing.
Yeah.
Clashing over mustard and ketchup. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So, we get the draft in a couple of days, and we all know what Buffalo's going to do. It sounds like Svechnikov is going to go... to Carolina. Then the draft begins at 3 with Montreal, which I find humorous because Bergevin, he's always willing to take that platform and have the whole league talk about him. But it sounds like they're going to hold on to that pick. But with Bergevin, shouldn't we be prepared for anything? Like he is willing to move and shake. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He
Absolutely.
Trades that third pick. I'd love to see it.
But what would it take? Like, you got to think, okay, they've got to address one of two needs. They need a centerman or they need a defenseman. They need a top-end guy because without Weber and who knows what his health is, I don't know. But, I mean, you've got to have, those are two real weaknesses for them. And so who would have one of those players that would wedge you out of that third pick?
I
don't see it. I mean, if I'm Buffalo, I'm trying with Ryan O'Reilly and some package of something.
Well, you think they have to at least think about things? Because what are they going to do? The other two guys that are going to be available are scoring wingers.
But isn't... I was talking to Craig. Craig said that after two, there's about five or six guys that are kind of in that mix, and two of them are centers. That's where I thought, because
one,
you know,
kid's been jumping up the
right, it's climbing. The, yeah. I think, but that's where
that's caught Kanyemi,
yes,
the Finnish kid.
Right, that's where, and we all know, usually in the top 10, there's one dud. I mean, it's not. I mean, if we look back at previous drafts, but there's usually one guy that doesn't pan out as good as we think they're going to be. That's where I think it gets scary. If you are, you know, the Habs and other teams that are looking to reshape your roster a lot quicker than other teams, especially if you got a high pick, you got to pick the right guy. It could change the fortunes of the organization.
But Montreal, like, trading that pick to me makes very little sense.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a lot of prospects that jump out off the page, like young guys that are outside the league. So start adding to the cupboard. Don't, I know they're boxed in a little bit with Weber and Price and their ages, but 5 and 6 years is a long time. We're seeing players when they get to be 20 and 21 that they can be, you know, not just part-time contributors, but real contributors. They, players develop faster now. So I wouldn't trade that pick. If you like Kotkaniemi, if you think he's, you know, a player that can be a one or two centerman for you, I think you've got to take him there.
Yeah, I
and
agree
then,
with you.
Then you get to Ottawa. What the hell are they going to do? Because they've got to give a first rounder in one of the next 2 years, and it's got to be their own.
Right.
Man, that's a...
I think just based on playing the odds, they'll probably keep this, because even if they finish last next year, statistically speaking with the lottery balls... says you're still going to pick fourth.
I agree. I think they roll the dice on themselves, at least trying to climb out of, like, to get to 11th worst in the NHL instead of, you know, where they were, second worst. Like,
I think next year Jack Hughes is, you know, people are talking about him the same way they talk about Dahlin. And are you going to really trade that pick? Like, what if you, like, if you make the pick at four, that means next year Colorado gets the pick. There is no more decision to be made because it's got to be your pick.
Yep.
What if you win the lottery? Man, they're going to get steamrolled.
Oof,
it's already a debacle because of what they had to give up. You know, they gave up they gave up Turris. They gave up the first rounder. They gave up a second rounder. Like, it's a costly trade. And then they've had, you know, what's happened this week, and I don't know, man. There's no easy decision, but four is, I think I would move the pick this year. I'm already accepting that I'm not going to be any good, and I'm going to try and make a trade. In the trade with Carlson, I'm trying to pick up another first rounder. Well, I will. That helps offset the one that I'm just going to have to give away because of the Duchesne trade.
Well, I do think the Carlson deal is linked to this. I think if he's going to be traded this weekend, what they're signaling is we're in big trouble. Like, we're taking steps backwards. So there is a chance we're as bad as we were last year, maybe somehow worse. But I think if they're actually committed, and no one can get a read on this because of the owner trying to keep them here, then I do think you probably keep this pick, you give away the next pick, and you try to prove to him, you know, we're all in, we're going to get better, you're going to improve that. But there's also another angle to this that just adds insult to injury. Think about this. Let's say they keep this pick, and next year they automatically give away that pick.
But hang on a sec. Sorry. Before you go with that game plan, Brian, don't you have to go to Carlson and say, what is it, out or not?
Well,
and
of course
you make
you
the
do.
Decision.
Yeah, you have to make that decision.
They know what he's doing already.
I think they know if he wants to stay or not, and they know if they're willing to, even if he is willing to stay, if they're willing to pay him what he wants. So I'm sure that decision's been made already, and we'll find out this weekend. But let's say they keep this pick, and they take the fourth pick, and then next year they hand that over to Colorado. Not only does Colorado end up in the top three,
right,
that same week that we're going to be at the draft next week, Matt Duchesne lets the world know, I'm not re-signing in Ottawa. So not only did the guy you trade for not want to stick around, the pick you gave up is a top three pick going to Colorado. That has the makings of one of the more embarrassing situations.
But they'll trade Duchesne. you'll get value for Duchesne, and then you'll trade
But still, when you just lump everything together.
Well, he's got 1 year left on his deal, right? So they'd have to trade him at the deadline next year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you'll get, like, you're not just going to lose Duchesne for nothing. You'll trade him. Like, you may not get what you paid for him.
Well, that's what fans are going to say. They're going to say, we went through all of this to trade Duchesne for what we could have got more for whenever. But, it's crazy.
Know, like, people will say in that, like, you can go hindsight and be GM coach from a couch, but I'm just saying, like, I would take my chance on next year. And also, if you're going to trade Carlson, you're going to get multiple high picks. So that may make potentially what you're laying out, Brian, for next year situation soften a little bit if you end up losing, you know, but I guess it could be a first overall pick.
It could be bad
if you lose or win the lottery, you call it.
Can I throw something else in here?
Sure, throw another scenario.
You've got Erik Karlsson, so you've got a bucket of teams that are interested. But according to Frank Seravalli, Dorion doesn't like to talk to teams or to trade players in his own division.
Right.
So you're going to take 25% of your possible paying customers and say, no thanks, we're not even going to listen.
You have to listen on everyone.
I don't care if you trade the guy next door. Who cares? You play him 5 times a year. Are you worried about a playoff series? Because I got news for you. That's like worrying if the sun's going to fall on your head.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Man, get the best stuff you can get. I think they're in a position here, they can't fix what they have.
No.
In my opinion. So you might as well just rip it right back to the shore and start bringing in as many assets as you can. Big-time assets. Because they got burned on the Hoffman deal. Not all of it to their fault. I mean, the circumstance made it a really difficult trade to make. But Mikhail Bodker's a power play guy, 40 points. And then San Jose turns that around to a way better bounty of draft picks.
Yeah, second and fourth,
Yeah, this has been a tough couple of weeks here in Ottawa, and it's not getting easier.
Well, and they tweeted out, like every team has, because the home openers were announced today. And if you want to find some humor, go check out the mentions on that tweet, courtesy of the Ottawa Senators Twitter handle, where they tweeted out that Ottawa is playing, I think, Chicago in the home opener. And just, it's one smartass after the next. He's like, no thanks, not going to be there.
I saw a bunch of tweets and Instagram stuff where the New York Islanders versus Carolina Hurricanes, and it was Barzal, the picture of Barzal and the picture of another Carolina Hurricane. I found probably that interesting.
Well, you can't put
Tavares on. I don't know if he's coming back.
Not right now. I mean, maybe 2 weeks from now if that works out for them. But Ray, I get the sense that us not being at the draft, all hell's going to break loose there. Brian thinks it's because of him that usually when we're there, not much goes on. But the fact that we're going to be sitting at home, this could be an epic one.
I think there's a couple real blockbusters that are going to happen on the floor.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, like the Carlson stuff, of course, just doesn't show up very often. What if the Islanders have the sense now that they can't sign Tavares? Are they going to get into a spot where they can at least recoup something? Like one of those trades, right at the draft thing? There's multiple teams that have restricted free agents. Would this be the year that they'd be worried about an offer sheet? Like, it just, to me, like, there's so many variables this year that really can tip this thing on its ear. I think there's lots going to happen. I really do.
Do you think the Matthews and Babcock relationship stuff, is that going to show up in the draft, or is that done until the fall?
Well, how would it show up?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Babcock would be down there, so you know how the league talks, and Matthew's agent will be there, and his contract is right around the corner. I mean, it was a big story when it happened, and we kind of let it go, as you would expect. I mean, other things pop up, but like, that's the superstar player, and there are reports that he and the coach are not necessarily on the best terms. Regardless of what Babcock is saying publicly, you hear it from the other side coming out of the Matthews camp that maybe don't listen to everything that Babcock is saying. So, you know, that's...
Hey, I think mid-July to August 1st, that's when the fan gets going on those, like, you know, the fan of the fire gets going on that. Like, if he's not signed by mid-July to August 1st, now you're a month or 6 weeks away from camp, and then it starts to get a little, you know, starts to get a little hotter, I think.
No, not in this town, Ray.
You'll be talking about Josh Donaldson's heels or whatever until they move him along. But, man, I don't think that's dead yet. Until his name is on the paper, there'll always be something to at least wonder there.
Well, and I think when he shows up to camp and once the season gets started, who he's playing with, the power play minutes, the amount of minutes overall. I mean, it will more than likely be an ongoing story all year, but I was listening to something this morning where it was about Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich, and it was Jeff Van Gundy was talking about this. He's like, as a coach, if your superstar is not on the same page as you, not day in, day out, but for the most part, you guys right. have a connection, you could be in big trouble. Because that permeates the rest of the group. They follow what's going on with the superstar. They follow that relationship, and they understand the importance of it. And I'm not saying that this is friction to the point where it's going to cause ripple effects in the Leaf room or what have you. Not yet. Not right now. But this isn't the fourth defenseman who doesn't get along right. with Babcock. You know right. what I'm saying? This isn't the third line guy. This isn't even like a guy like Kadri. This is the boy wonder, the Messiah here in
right,
Toronto.
Right.
Year two, Babcock's flying down to meet him, and I think we all know the reasoning behind it.
Now, it's the first thing I thought of when you said Jeff Van Gundy and star player. Brian, you might have seen this. I don't know if the other guys have.
Him hanging on a guy's leg?
Oh, my God.
Who was he wrestling? Who was he hanging on?
Well, I think he's on Patrick Ewing's leg, which is their star player.
He was dragging him around the court.
Oh, like a three-year-old. He gets knocked down in the little scuffle, and he's holding onto the guy's leg, you know, like a chihuahua. And it's one of the greatest video clips of all time. I just love it.
That's a superstar, man. You got to have your superstar's back or your leg, whatever it happens to be.
I've got your leg, Patrick. You're safe here.
Yep, Jeff Van Gundy. He's a wise guy, man. He's been there before.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that, though, too, is just, 3 weeks ago when Shaq and Charles Barkley got into it on the panel about you got to have a great relationship with your star player, and Shaq's like, no, you don't. I'm sure you guys all saw that.
Yeah, that was about DeMar DeRozan, I believe, and the fact that DeMar got sat in the fourth quarter.
Him and Barkley got into it.
And Barkley was saying you got to have a great relationship, and O'Reilly's like, no, you don't. I never had one with Pat Riley. And so you're like, man, so I think it's a lot of times it depends on who the guy is. Shaq yeah. probably was like, who the hell cares what you say anyway? I mean, the ball's coming into me and that's the way it goes. But it was such a lightning bolt that story came out publicly that until Matthew's name is on a long-term deal, there's always something there to at least think about.
Yeah,
because it does matter. Until he's on a 8-year contract, until his contract supersedes Babcock, then there's always something to wonder about.
Enjoy it tonight, NHL Awards. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It can't be any worse than my putting because I suck today. So
tell me you
go
broke
go Johnny
your
Miller and close your eyes.
I might as well. Oh, seriously. Like that 30 putts today. You can't.
No, yes. You're not going low with 30 putts.
Come in early before Trade Center, and we'll play the afternoon before Trade Center.
Really?
Yeah.
How early do we have to be there?
Well, just let's not. It's on Sunday. It starts at 11, I think. So let's play Saturday afternoon.
I think I need to talk to Madeline.
Yeah. Make it work. Cross the T's and dot the I's.
It'll get done.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
It's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history.